Hey, you guys know for Indy, I got through in that Indy swimsuit issue from, I don't remember from who, from one of them companies that.
I had some of those, like a image one.
I think it was an image one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just made me
So I know
laugh.
there's always those Street Fighter swimsuit issues.
How ridiculous. How ridiculous, boys. All right, should we start this thing?
When the show gets too controversial and you can't use it for the intro.
This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, people. It's Indie Comic Book Noise. We got good news and bad news. Good news is we have our two Canadian stalwart hosts. Bad news is Super Steve is off. Last I heard, he was in hell fighting Spawn.
I heard he was watching Madame Web.
Look at that, Phil. See me weave in some Spawn, like Spawn goes to hell sometimes. Look at me. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I read that big issue, but actually got kicked out of hell. So I guess that's not continent. But anyways, our two hosts from Canada are WWX Kev from the Arctic Circle. Say hi, Kev.
Let's get noisy.
And from the nation's capital, the Ottawa Otter, and nuts to Ottawa University, those thieves.
Bastards, I'll sue those fuckers.
Say hi, Phil.
Oh, hello.
And it's me, Andrew the LA Rabbit, blah, 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 blah. Indie Comic Book Noise, part of the Deliberate Noise Network, a collection of fine podcasts and lifestyle brands. Thanks always to Derek Coward. Yeah, exactly. And ours. Derek Coward, who keeps the lights on, does everything. We'd be not existing without him. You can find old show notes and past episodes on our website. Time to remember for a second. IndieComicBookNoise.com. Yay! And you can find the show on social media. You can find some of the hosts on Blue Ski and Mastodon. The show, I think, is on Facebook and Twitter, right, Kevin?
Yes,
does anyone
of
check
course
the
they are.
Feeds of those for the does the show check the feeds for itself? I don't know. As you heard at the beginning, sometimes we have controversial business, but that's just there and an abundance of caution. I always say we never say anything controversial. And then Kevin says
You're always trying to get us canceled. And I have so many topics this time.
It's and you
been
edited
a
out.
Wild few weeks of comics. So I don't know which one of these you want me to drop on you.
Well, whichever one doesn't get us canceled.
Is it another company dying? Don't bum me out, Kevin.
I think so. I think Aftershock is still around.
Oh, Kevin, good news. I didn't buy it, but I saw your Valiant comic in the store, but it was by a different company or an imprint or something.
Oh, yeah. Valiant's put out by Alien Books now.
Yeah. So what? I was like, whoa, Kevin will be excited.
Yeah. I pre-ordered 5 Valiant comics. Can you believe that? 5.
What are the titles?
I'm reasonably comfortable with most of the creators.
What are the titles that they're launching?
The Valiants,
mm-hmm.
Bloodshot. Rye, Exo-Manowar, Fate.
Okay. Well,
so they're finishing off like the Rye series.
Yeah.
And then they're continuing sort of, I guess, the Exo Bloodshot. I guess it's a continuation. I mean, it's some of the same creators.
I mean, I think it was Bloodshot I saw, but I just saw it was
yeah, that would make sense.
A Valiant title, but I didn't recognize the publisher. It was something weird. And I'm like, oh, that's strange, but Kevin will be excited. They're in the stores as we speak.
Yeah.
So I'll give you your controversial thing. I guess people were confusing video artist with comic artist.
I never heard of a video artist.
Well, it was said it was an AI video artist. So people were all up on Valiant about how they're using AI in their artwork now because mm-hmm. they solicited for a video artist.
Okay. I guess I'm with Phil. I don't really know what a video artist is.
Me neither.
Like a video game artist or
that's the an animation topic.
Phil and I are now confused.
So you told me and Andrew that just to get us confused. I was at peace. Now I feel like I'm not.
It was kind of like Valiant will be like, oh, we have NFTs now, and then everyone's like, oh, Valiant's going down the tubes. Everyone stop buying their books. Meanwhile, in Marvel and DC, it was like, yeah, we've had our own NFTs for a while. Yeah, I'm like, you can also get,
not helping Kevin.
I don't think they need to tell people not to buy Valiant comics. I think most people are doing that perfectly well all on their own.
So Valiant's comics is a cartoon show now?
I'm not quite sure what it was for. I'm like, are they putting together like trailers?
They're making trailers. Oh.
Wouldn't that be an editor? Like an editor makes more sense if you're making videos.
The ad quietly disappeared. Storm everyone, of controversy.
Because everyone gets mad. It's all that anyone knows how to do anymore.
Maybe it disappeared because they got confused, Phil.
Yeah, they were as confused as us, I'm sure. Maybe it was just a typo.
Yeah, they deleted the word game. Well, you said one of you was. Weren't we talking about a recent Valiant video game not too long
ago? Well, there was one in the 90s. It was Exo Manowar and Iron Man.
Yeah, but didn't they re-release the.
I thought
there was a Shadow Man. There was a Shadow Man one.
Yeah, I thought that came out again recently.
Was that it? That might be it.
No, there was Iron Man Exo.
Turok, if you count that, but I don't really count that.
Whoa, Phil, getting. Well, don't give them their golden age props.
It jumps companies, right? It's not really Valiant.
Yeah, it's a gold, but they. I have a feeling that the video game was probably not based on the one from the golden age or whatever.
No, it was the Valiant comics at the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some people enjoyed the Turok without even knowing it was. From any comic property?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, and if you want to get really controversial, you could talk about those fans, general public. I don't know. What do you want to
listen to the contempt in the voice talking about fans?
Yeah,
fans. Are we fans?
We're fans, buddy.
But people seem to know what Steve Ditko would be thinking because there was supposed to be some. Recognition ceremony.
Oh yeah, at the new next
Disney
the fan club, the official fan club D23 hosts an expo sometimes every year, sometimes every other year, and they nominate legends, which are basically like a Hall of Fame, and they've done Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Stan was alive for his, but Jack's was obviously posthumous, and so is Ditko's is posthumous as well.
Yeah, I was just thinking, well, there's a guy that needs recognition, Ditko. But some people were, some fans, someone in the general public audience were like, oh, Ditko would hate this. And then other people were just like, Ditko wouldn't care. Come on.
Well, we'll never know. Yeah, I do kind of miss, I'm still backing some Kickstarters, so I do kind of miss the old Ditko and Snyder Kickstarters I used to back.
Those seem to run like clockwork.
Yeah, they were reliable. Reliable. They really did a good job. All right, guys.
I still have three or four left on this list. Oh. Like, if you wanted to totally get us completely canceled, I mean, I can run off some more.
Well, let's take one of the less cancelable ones if you have that. So far, your first two, I'm not too worried about getting.
Oh, I'll pick one of the less controversial. Confusing. Ones.
Yeah, that's confusing.
Is it are you shelving characters, or is it that no one has an idea or a story left to tell? Is the question.
I don't know what property we're discussing. Archie, the getting rid of Veronica.
Take any property you want. Like this, the story is over, or they've told their big event, and then there's like no one. It's seemingly no one else. Has any interest in doing like the aftermath, it seems like everything has already been done. And if it's a difficult property to translate anyways, should you be expecting like more stories, or should you be getting mad at the publisher for like, oh yeah, they obviously shelved the Fantastic Four or whatever.
More Kevin, I just read like 47 trades of Black Hammer. Like, I don't think they need that much. I don't think people are not milking properties for everything. Do you feel like they needed another 30 or 40 graphic novels slid in there?
Yeah, what comic are you having a problem with here? Because I feel like...
if Cthulhu doesn't come back, are you going to think Jeff Lemire is shelving that character? And are you going to be upset?
Well, I know you're going to be upset with the Insector Inspector if that guy doesn't come back.
Oh, that guy gets a lot of play.
Yeah, I feel like there's plenty of exploitation of intellectual property.
Like, are you upset that the Eternals isn't any comics currently?
I hate the Eternals. Dylan had
the whole crossover with the X-Men and the Eternals.
First of all,
no Eternals comic.
That's kind of a Marvel-y thing, but we'll let it stand. Normally, I prefer DC talk in my indie, but we'll have some Marvel talk. Yeah, there's another, you know, the distinguished competition. Like, you don't think there's enough Batman titles for you?
And the thing is, every character can't have a comic, you know,
yeah,
at the same time. It just doesn't work that way, you know. Like, characters come back eventually. It just, sometimes it takes a while. I had to wait a long time for Silver Surfer to come back, and he still hasn't fully come back, you know. Like,
yeah,
like Midnight, like there's a lot of things I love that just never come back. But
there's so many books out there. And there's
is this about Cerebus, Kevin? You want him to bring that back? You don't like these new projects? He's brought him back a few times, but
yeah, wasn't he putting out some like parody? Speaking of which, one of the guys that was involved in that was at Toronto Comic Con.
I wouldn't expect so. Dave Sims is a big Canada guy, right? Not Dave Sims
himself.
Oh, the guy that does all the background art?
Yeah.
I apologize. I can't pull his name right now.
That's why I'm trying to coax it out of you, because I'm just like, what's that guy's name again?
When I was a kid, I read some of Cerebus, but it was, I don't know, maybe it was over my head, or maybe I'm too dumb, or something. It just didn't hook. I mean, you could see it was obviously well crafted, but like the whole, it's funny now that I'm older, I actually like the Marx Brothers more. But I think at that time, some of the references seemed weird to me. I guess not weird, but just not in my wheelhouse. Because, you know, he always has those parody things, and the one guy's like Groucho Marx and all that stuff. Now we're going I haven't looked at this stuff since the 80s, so. Forgive me if I'm off on something. But I know lots of people love it. And it's a big deal. And 300 issues ain't nothing, you know?
And I hear maybe half of it is good or something. I mean,
I don't read it. Yeah, I read a little bit back in, like I said, in the 80s. And it just didn't. It was obviously well done. But you know those things where you're like, yeah. Oh, it looks good. But it's just not for me. So I've never revisited.
Yeah, it just seemed like one of those books that people seem to say it's diminishing returns after a while.
You guys know I'm a total fraud, right? Like, I sat on the sidelines for Love and Rockets and Cerebus and like all the real indie books. I'm like, I didn't read that. I was too busy with geriatric jujitsu gerbils or whatever garbage I was reading.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, I think it's been obvious. There's been enough evidence on this podcast that we're all frauds.
Preteen, I mean, 30 gene Kung Fu Kangaroos. I read lots of crap in the 80s.
I've never read Cerebus or Love and Rockets either.
Yeah, but I was there, like, they were on the show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I was really an indie guy, I would have been buying them instead of...
I've had tons of chances to pick those up over the years, but no, I never have.
Yeah, at least we read 8-Ball for this podcast. Not that that shows that we're...
we're kind of like, it's not really for us.
Yeah, I know. Like,
yeah, guys, that bombed.
One of the greatest comics of all time.
Yeah, it's just funny, all these classic indie books that
I know.
We're like,
I feel like I've read some Love and Rockets short stories, and then, but it's so like out of context. It's some random characters walking down the street or whatever, and I'm like, I guess this isn't really what Love and Rockets is about. And I always threaten that we're going to cover Love and Rockets.
I just remember seeing it in the store and being like, "Yeah, I'll buy Elric and other dumb shit." Like I said, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle parody comics.
Oh, I love that. I was so big into that one when the movie came out. Oh, that I still have mine.
Like I said, the preteen Dirty Jean Kung Fu Kangaroos. I think that only lasted like an issue, maybe two at best. Some of these were just kind of goofy. I guess they were trying to catch lightning in a bottle twice. But
yeah.
Oh, there was tons of them, different ones.
Yeah. Well, they had them all advertised in like the back of Turtles issues too.
Well, it was a bit, I mean, comics were, I mean, they were all black and white and everything, but I didn't care. Like, black and white's good for me. They were cheap. I mean, they were more expensive than Marvel and DC sometimes, but expensive was like, oh, it's a dollar or something, you know?
Yeah. Boy, that's
and if you waited long enough, they were in the, a lot of them ended up in the remainder, you know, the 10 for a dollar box or whatever.
You know, I never see those in there to this day. Like, there's certain things I just never see.
Well, I can't imagine who would drag long boxes of that to a show.
That's the thing.
I mean, those have probably... And the other thing is, I don't know how well that kind of cheap newsprint holds up that well either. You know what I mean? They weren't... Those indie guys were using the... I would guess the cheapest possible printing you could get.
Well, all my old comics like that have held up good. Like, I find they look better than the Marvel and DC older comics from that time.
Whoa.
Well, I think black and white holds up better.
I think so, yeah. I guess maybe it's the colors that are
Well,
also not aging well, but...
And sometimes you get those new and, like, they're off register and stuff. There were a lot of problems with...
Because I have tons, like, they're not yellow, you know, like some of the other comics get.
Yeah.
Like, they're nice and crisp still looking.
This brand new comic. Speaking of, all right, so who wants to...
We got to do a review.
Let's talk about some comic books. Who wants to go first?
I got something.
Go for it, Kevin.
Which subgenre do you think of my tastes do you think I'm going to talk about?
Outer space cats.
It's got to be cats. Space cats, yes.
You are right. How did you know?
Well, Kevin, you know, you like cats and you like cats on the moon or cats in space or...
And no joking aside, you've probably covered at least 50 cat books on here.
I mean, yeah, probably. I don't think I ever covered What's Michael, but I covered a man and his cat.
Well, if you're going to list all the cat comics you've covered... That'll be the end of the episode.
You're going to get us canceled.
So what's this new one?
This one also has two dogs, though. You know, it's not We Three.
That had a rabbit was one of the characters.
That's right.
Beasts of Burden?
Man's Best.
Who's it by?
I would totally butcher this name, sadly. This might as well be, like, some manga author... which is funny enough because they actually mention at the back something that you're probably wondering why I wrote this comic, and you're probably wondering what's up with that name, and then he's like, it's Ty.
Well, that's easy to say, Ty, T-Y. I don't know what you're worried that it, okay, so it's this comic by a guy named Ty, okay, and it's got cats in it.
Sure, let's just go with that. So yeah. I got to say that this, I don't know if all these Boom Studios books are like this, maybe because it's a dollar more. See, when I first saw this solicited, I'm like, even though it looks like I would be into this, I was like, that comic is a dollar more. So I was like, I put it off. And I'm like, I'm not going to order that. I'm like, well, why am I getting this comic that's an extra dollar? But man, this is a thick cardstock cover. I gotta tell you.
It's the cat tax, Kevin. I mean, part of why I like Ty is I use it as a video game name because the T and the Y are next to each other and the virtual keyboard, so it's easy to get your video game. So a lot of my characters are named Ty. A little insight if you don't feel like typing a lot using a controller. But anyways, go on. A cardstock cover.
Yes. So I happened to wander by the Beguiling while I was at Toronto Comic Con, and I saw this Man's Best, the first issue. Wait, was it from there? No, I think I led you astray, Andrew. I think I picked this up somewhere else. I did wander by the Beguiling, though. I think they actually didn't have it. I think they might have been sold out.
Well, maybe you got it at a Tim Hortons. It doesn't matter how. It matters that you have it now.
This is true. Drawn by Jesse Lonergan, which I've covered. I don't think I covered Planet Paradise, but probably Hydra. You know, he does this kind of thing with that I love with all the many panels. And then setting up, different ways you could cut your pages into stuff. I mean, and there's just something about the cartooning, too, that really appeals to me. Like, I don't know how to exactly describe it. Like, it's, I guess it's not, like, super realistic. But something about the assembly of the pages and the way everything looks, I'm just like, I need more of this. So I'm like, why didn't I get this in the first place, right? I was just crazy.
Yeah, I think anyways, I remember you talked about Hydra, maybe, or Gaia, or one of them ones that he did. Because I think I've had to look him up on all your weird websites.
So that Hellboy miniseries, too. But yeah, you have three animals here, two dogs, one cat, and they're like sort of looking after people and everything. Like they serve a role as emotional support animals. But it, as you can tell from the cover, like one of them looks like he has a rocket attached to his back. One has a giant helmet and maybe like sort of a war mech type of look to it. And then this other dog has like this robotic leg. Sort of like the Winter Soldier if he was a dog type of thing. That's a good visual, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw on social media someone a cat had a different colored leg and they posted it and called it the Winter Soldier cat.
That's pretty good.
Thought you'd like that.
So yeah, like you I think they describe it as like it was like one third Saga, one third Homeward Bound. I forget what the last third was. Oh, I think it was the artist, because I give a lot of credit to the artist here. See, apparently he's throwing things back and forth, which I think it would be a good sign of a good collaboration between two creators. But yeah, apparently these planets have been going missing, which is kind of a, concerning cosmic anomaly or whatever that people would be interested in. And then there's also someone with an eye patch in this issue. So I'm like, how many people have an eye patch, Andrew? Tell me how many people in comics have an eye patch.
None. It's a unique characteristic. Wait, a pirate. I bet you there's got to be some pirate comic.
There has to be, right? But my go-to is pretty much Nick Fury.
I don't think he's been in a comic book.
All right. I mean, David Hasselhoff probably hasn't been in a comic.
Yeah, he was in the Guardians movie.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, Mr. Not Nick Fury is part of the crew here. And then you have some of the like other researchers or scientists or whatever that are on board. And I don't know how you feel about animals talking, but I should say this is another thing that concerned me. If you're going to have a comic about animals, I start thinking of the stopwatch too. I'm thinking, well, we're not going to have a lot of talking in here. There's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a quick read, right? And there's like, they're not going to really communicate, but the animals are talking in here.
Oh no. I just had an awful thought, guys.
What?
Kevin's obsessed with cats. You're obsessed with rabbits. You guys forced me to be a fucking otter. Are we furries? Are we fucking furries?
No, Phil, we don't do weird things as that. But I do think you have standing to go after that Ottawa University, those pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna. I'm coming.
Anyways, but talking animals, but they're not it's not like Usagi Yojimbo or something, though. Is it, Kevin?
No.
Like, acting like people?
They look except for like the mechanical weirdness that goes on with like the dog has like the Winter Soldier arm, they pretty much look like regular and act like regular dogs and cats and everything, although they're like talking and fighting amongst themselves. It seems like they've been together for a long time and are like best friends and everything, but they have like disputes on like who should be the leader, what should they do and stuff like that, which comes to a head when this planet reappears. And yeah, things don't bode well for this ship. So yeah, they're out on their own, having to face down some aliens and stuff like that. So all in all, pretty cool. I mean, probably better than I would have expected, even though, I mean, I should have expected greatness from these creators anyways. But, you know, you get those things, little things that go off in your head when you're doing the previews order. Of course, if you believe the previews catalog exists. I mean, Andrew.
Never seen it.
So, yeah, and then once you get to that moment when you're in a shop or whatever, and then you see that issue, I'm like, you know, I should really get that. And yeah, pretty awesome.
Sounds it. I was like, glad when you find fun stuff. But you like the, I think even Steve had read the one Lonergan comic, the space one. So, you know, half the team's already on board. That's always good. All right, Phil, what have you got?
Well, I read, I know, I think Kevin hates when it's said like this, but the second season of Chainsaw Man.
You know, you go to the Viz Media website, there is no second season. You can't figure that out.
No, because I swear to God, at the end of book 11, did it not say season 2 coming soon or something like that?
I'm not saying you're
this is wrong. Considered the second season because that was wrapped up.
But if you go to the Viz Media website, it goes from chapter 11, like chapter 97 is like book 11, and then chapter 98 is book 12. They don't cut this.
Oh, this isn't going to be confusing to anyone.
This is a new season.
We've heard season two, chapter 97, and volume 13. So
you want me to go to the end of chapter 97 and see what it says?
Don't act all high and mighty, Kevin, after you just confused us with all that news bullshit.
I'm going here right now. I see the end of part one, the end.
But if you read book 1 to 11, you got a complete story. Because when you pick up these three books, this is not a Chainsaw Man story. Like, picking up these books, I was like, oh my God. I had to really force myself to read these. Like, the third one is they go on a date to an aquarium. Like, shut up. But you know what? The second I read book 12, I was like, this is fucking amazing. I could not put it down. And then the 13 and 14 too, I didn't care that Chainsaw Man wasn't really in this that much. And it's like a completely new story, you know? Like, it doesn't continue from the other one, really. Like, it's definitely a new season. Did you read them, Kevin?
You know, I was going to.
You didn't?
And then, yeah, with all the madness and everything, I didn't.
Because I'm telling you, once you start, you're not going to be able to put it down. They're awesome.
So if you're not calling it season two, it's also volume 12, you're saying, Phil? You're starting
No, it's season two because Kevin didn't even read it. He doesn't even know what he's talking about.
You can call it part two, I guess, since the end of volume 11 says the end, part one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like the next thing is like volume 12.
Season two.
It doesn't say season anywhere.
So, but the main girl in this thing, so it's like a new person with a demon power, and her power is so cool because basically she'll take people's body parts and then turn them into weapons, and the more attached she is to that person, the more powerful weapon it is. So she kind of has this demon in her head trying to get her to like be close to people so she can make these good weapons, but she doesn't want to, so she'll use things like pencils and rulers and things like that. And yeah, Chainsaw Man, he's like, he's barely in these at all. Like, she's trying to kill Chainsaw Man because the demon hates Chainsaw Man. And if they kill him then she'll get her life back or whatever kind of thing. And I don't want to spoil it for you now, Kevin, because you didn't read it. Because there's some really cool stuff in it, so I don't want to talk about it too much. But yeah, I think I like it better. I'm pretty sure I like it better than the first stuff so far. And I did not think I was gonna, because it's not very actiony, really. But yeah, it's really good. I will say the third book has a return. Probably one of my favorite books from the first ones. You remember when they were stuck in that hotel?
They were stuck in a hotel.
I think it was a hotel that was like a building. Remember there was a demon and they were stuck in that building? Do you remember that volume? And they couldn't leave because of this demon?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Really? Oh, it was like the whole book. That was like one of my favorites. But anyway, that kind of comes back in one of these volumes, which is neat. But yeah, I think you'll really enjoy it, Kevin. It's the fourth one, I think, comes out like May 15th or something like that. So I think I might let it build up a bit, because I hate that I have to wait so long per book now.
I mean, maybe I'll enjoy it more with the change in focus. You never know.
Oh, it is. It's really nice. It's probably more refreshing because we're not getting more of the same, you know.
Yeah.
It's really like a more like a spin-off title kind of thing.
It's weird that it's still part of the same numbering though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Chainsaw Man is in it, but like I say, but not much.
Yeah.
I did try the anime. I think I watched an episode or two.
Yeah, I never seen it myself. Did you like it?
It was all right. It didn't. Mm-hmm. I guess it didn't hook me enough to watch more than a few. It's also a little bit. I think I might have been watching the subtitled one, and a lot of times I like stuff on in the background. And subtitles is not the way for background stuff, because I need to be able to hear so I can. I know a lot of people are like, you can't watch the dubbed. You're a loser if you do, but I don't care. Well,
I think you're better off reading the comics, because I feel like if I watched the cartoon show, I wouldn't like it. But the comics were a lot of fun. And it made me excited always, just like comics used to, you know, at the end of the issue where you're like, oh, I can't wait for the next one, you know.
I don't know. Sometimes I'll put on an anime like while I'm doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a background thing. Yeah.
So like, but it will never be something that, like, it's always weird when something gets too good and you're like, I got to turn this off now.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah.
So it's like I had that. What was it? Was it Blue Period? I had that one on the background. That one was all right. And then the latest one was Delicious in Dungeon. So I don't know if I would have enjoyed the comics.
Oh, is that the one where they go in the dungeon and cook the things?
Yeah.
Like the manga? I love that manga. The manga's so good. Stop watching it and get the manga, I'm telling you, man. Like the art and everything, and the recipes. Oh.
Yeah. So I've seen like as many episodes as been out on Netflix to this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people can call me a loser for putting that on in the background and not having subtitles, but you know.
Yeah, I only have like three volumes, but yeah, I never finished collecting it, but I really enjoyed that one.
It is like some of those things are just the Chainsaw Man was so matter of fact. Oh yeah, there's demons and all this stuff in the world. You just accept it, and then. Down is that the Delicious in Dungeon is like, oh, it's a D&D, but we're so terrible at our campaigns and everything. We ran out of food, and now we just started cooking the monsters in the dungeon and eating them. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's interesting enough, but like, I guess not enough for me to like highly recommend it to.
Well, that's why I think you need the comic form just so you could see, like, the artwork, like the art will look a lot better. Like when you see like the, like I remember having like recipes or like what ingredients they were finding and stuff, and just the way they did it looked really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It would almost be like some educational thing if it was like real recipes, but instead they're making up like their own with like monster guts and
pieces. I read a Superman one
or whatever.
And every chapter was just him trying different food. It was so boring, though. So that was kind of a different way.
Yeah. I mean, there is something serious that they're trying to achieve that happens to someone. And I'm like, can you do that? And I'm just like, oh, well, I guess that's the thread that connects the story rather than them just chowing down on some kind of walking mushroom or whatever. Yeah, but that one guy is way too into the food. Like once they start like eating all the animals and plants and monsters and everything, he's just like, oh yeah. And of course there's one of them that doesn't want to be eating any of it and mm-hmm. finds it disgusting, but then they taste it and of course they're like, this is good.
All right, Andrew, hit us home.
All right. Well, I wanted to thinking about saving this for Super Steve because it's kind of funny, but I think I'll do it anyways because it was funny that it's Andy Digital, Digi Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of was unusual, but it's a book that I started off physical and now I've got digital, and Steve started off digital and I sent him my physical copies. It's I don't know if you guys remember the Sit comics, the binge books, Darren Henry books. Well, yeah, end of 2023, I guess I should specify because maybe this will take a while before it comes out. I ended up back in his Kickstarter where he was putting stuff out in digital form. So mm-hmm. I got Super Suckers number 13, which is
That went that far?
Yeah. Well, this is the brand new one.
Yeah,
because like I said, it just came out, came out 2024, mm-hmm. came out digital. So it's funny, I only have digital. Hopefully I'll see him in a show or something. Maybe I'll get some physical copies too. But that was the one. One of the interesting things about Sit Comics is he ranks it kind of age appropriate. And this one is for teens and up because there's a lot of comments about bad language and references to sex, but there's no graphic things or anything. It's just that type of silliness, which, as you guys know, I find that kind of humor. But it's that snappy back and forth, and then it's also done a la kind of Archie House style. So this one is Darren Henry, script by Darren Henry, Jen Lloyd, Kevin Bonanni, and Jeff Schultz with Glenn Whitmore doing color. Is it so it's done kind of in that Archie sign, and it opens up and it gives our characters one of and they're vampires, but they're kind of cheeky ones that run around during the day and mm-hmm. have adventures. And at this point, they're all going out to visit Vera, who's dating Stuart, her parents, to visit this ranch. And there's a problem at the ranch they have to solve, and it ends with a cliffhanger on that. But it's just the kind of back and forth. Like, if you wanted Archie, but with more, I won't ruin much, but there is a site. The name of the ranch was, her dad dreamt up this ranch name when he was 5 years old. What's wrong with it? It's Big Malcolm's XXX Black Dude Ranch. Bareback riders get off and come inside. So that kind of, like, cheeky puns and stuff like that. So that made me laugh a little bit because it's so silly. And those kind of, and the characters are snapping back and forth. But I like his books, and I'm excited. I'm going to get a bunch of them coming digitally when they get finished. And I was just mm-hmm. like, you know what? I can do digital comics. You know, people think I can't, but I can do it just as well as anyone else.
Well, I think we just kind of have to now a bit because they forced us, right?
Well, it's also, I really need to, space is an issue. I'm going to be doing
that's the other thing, purge
of toys and comics because I got to go. Although I did see Phil. I haven't seen him mm-hmm. live, but I saw some reviews now that I do toy stuff. It suggests those NECA Puppet Master toys mm-hmm. would be good.
Okay. I wish I had some of those.
But oof, no way. I don't got room for, but they're just really well made. Like, yeah. They look like obviously the movies are about little dolls, so it makes sense mm-hmm. that they would make little dolls that look like them. But I was really...
Yeah, I really wanted some of those, but they were too expensive.
I was like, no, I don't have room for the toy lines I'm already collecting, much less to branch out into new stuff. But yeah, space. So excited to get these digitally, excited to read them, but if I see them, I'll get some print copies and maybe send them up to Super Steve. I think it's funny. I like reading print still, but I just need a way to get rid of them when I'm done reading them.
Yeah. For print these days, it's more just indie stuff I'm getting that, like, like Dead World or things like that, you know, like it's more trying to go a little more digital too, just because like you say, it's just too much space. And the books, you know, you buy one of those big omnibuses or whatever, and like that takes up like a quarter of the shelf, you know, like.
Yep.
Also, I enjoy reading them, but then you're also at the point where you're like, how many more times am I going to read this thing? You know what I mean? Like, I like this.
That's another thing I practice now. Is I reread things a lot now. So I have been doing a lot of that. Instead of buying, I've been rereading stuff. So I've been, like, this year I've really focused on that. And I have been enjoying that. So I bet you if you went through your collection before you start purging, there's probably some stuff you'd enjoy reading again first.
No, I can't do that. That's the problem. I start organizing and purging and sorting things. And then I end up not doing it because I get caught up in reading and doing. But I have to just put on like blinders and be like, okay, we're going to just throw out a bunch of, not throw out, but
because there's going to be stuff that you're going to want to read again one day and then it'll be gone.
Yeah. No, that's the nice thing though. I feel like I have so many comics. Plus I'm subscribed to the Marvel and DC one, the Netflix style where they have a bunch you can just read there. So I have access to so many comics. Plus I still do a lot of library stuff and everything. And I just feel like, I don't know, am I really going to read this random indie? I've got 3 issues of something way back, you know, those Spawn, when I jumped on the Spawn train from last year, the other year, like, when am I going to read those 10, 12 issues I bought?
When you get back into it, when he launches all those series.
You know, there's a Spawn Humble Bundle going on.
I'm good.
I don't think he's going to try Spawn again. I think he's done for good this time.
We're going to read issue 1 to, I don't know, issue 25.
I mean, I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that he found his thing, you know, but I just feel like every time I try it, and I guess that's a good thing. It's very consistent, but I guess I want more evolution, you know, or is that being too greedy?
Possibly.
All right. I got something for you.
Give it. Hit me.
Andrew's going to get grumpy if we don't cut this show down. Nah, we've already gone over his limit.
We're not going to be using a bunch of the stuff that we chatted about before the show started. Well, that will not be making it to air. I'm cutting out all the nonsense that no one wants to hear.
Or everyone wants to hear.
But anyways, what have you got for us, Kevin?
I got Alien Grove by Sean Curran Earl, I guess.
Another Alien book? Kevin, I think Marvel has that license now.
I have a theme. Oh, and I have a question to ask you. If you have a real cool moment or a big thing from the issue, how do you feel about putting that on the cover?
Well, they used to do that all the time.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it would be like, oh, I have to give a Marvel example. What's another cool example for something? It's because it's staring right at me right now. I can't think of anything because there's an ape with a glove. So I immediately think of the Infinity Gauntlet, which is prominently in my head. But anyways, that's what happens in here.
I think sometimes you need to, if you don't have an established book or anything, maybe you need to get people excited to read the thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I miss those kind of covers where it showed you what's in the issue. You know, I miss those covers.
Yeah. That's what first drew me to it. Well, I'm like Alien Grove, and then I see an ape, and I'm like, yeah, there's like a giant glove he has, and then it's like, you would say it's black and white, but then there's like a glow coming off the glove. And this is, I would say, what is this? Like a digest? But it's also like prestige format, too. And the cover just this very briefly goes around the spine and onto the back. So yeah, this is when I open this one up, it says Space Odyssey Part 1, and I'm like, okay, I know this is gonna be in my wheelhouse. I know what we're doing here. The word Space Odyssey and apes, I'm like, I know what's going on. Anyone that is in the know knows what's going on.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, let me lay it down for you. There's a bunch of apes, you know, talking, fighting, seeking out things in the wilds, and they get attacked by one of these wild animals. But after they go through some struggles, you know, they sort of feel something, hear something, say something, and they wander into this cavern, and they find a giant glowing monolith. Does that seem familiar?
2001, baby.
There we go. So yeah, these wild animals, this, like, I guess it's, I don't know exactly. I guess it's a leopard. I'm thinking this leopard comes back and comes back to threaten this this group of apes here. But wouldn't you know it, inside this monolith comes out a glove. Like, you can't really tell on the cover that, like, it has some kind of, like, maybe sharp claws on the fingers. But yeah, one of the apes happens to pick this up to defend everyone.
Ape shall not kill ape, Kevin. We learned that from the Planet of the Apes movies.
See, once we get to the monolith, I was like, okay, how much are we going to do here, right? From 2001. But that's exactly when it goes in a different direction. Because then there's also a part two in here, which is more, I wouldn't say modern day, but more like, it's not the past, right? Like, we've seen the bone transform into the space station. Yeah. Sort of like in between pages here. So that you have some spacemen, astronauts, show up here. And they're like looking around, goofing around. And they sort of, they've been tracking like this power source. And it turns out that what's giving off a reading is this glove in like this future. So I don't know if what exactly the deal with this glove is, but there's obviously something going on with it, and some stuff goes down before the end here. So I think there's like this sort of, I mean, I guess you could take this as one story in a way, because there's also the, like, an epilogue to this story. But I believe on the shelf, there was also more than one issue of this. That's probably also why it stood out. Like, I've seen, I'm not sure if the apes were on the other covers, but they're all like covers, and I'm like, oh, there's more than one of these. So, I mean, I would probably pick up another one whenever I see another one. If I see another one.
Well, I bet you will, Kevin. Sounds probably. Like you found this one. I mean,
do you read comics that don't star just animals?
Hey, he's doing a theme. The theme is comic books Kevin would buy.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about this week, because I also checked out that, like, in Solomon's Odyssey, that has chapters 1 to 3 on Kickstarter right now. So that's also
don't like that one.
That's also kind of like one of those type of stories where it's like in like some old ancient times and everything.
I did back some Kickstarters lately. I did Child Possession Services, that one
show. Oh, yeah. Just
put out.
Oh yeah, I'm back in all the part-time comic stuff.
So, and then I don't know if Four Horsemen had one too. Yeah. Which was, you know, that comic I love, Four Horsemen.
I don't know if you checked this one out, Phil, but
mm-hmm.
This one is from the Hivehead Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of like the first werewolf. Sort of okay. Like in ancient times, like
that's on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the story of Solomon, and he has I don't know, I guess one of them is like he's sort of like a goof, and other people are like, oh, you got to be more serious and everything. You know, it might come to you to lead the tribe type of thing. But yeah, I thought it's an interesting sort of mix of horror and adventure. And you know, it puts me back in the mind of like Archer and Armstrong when they would do those like the ancient tales mm-hmm. type of thing. Back when they had, what was that device called? There was, I'm blanking. There was like some kind of orb or something that they were after. Sort of like Shazam too. When you go back in time, it's like, oh, it's Black Adam back in the olden days type of stuff. It's kind of a theme for this episode. What do you got, Andrew? You got anything else?
Well, I think I was going to save, because I think we want to talk where I'm still reading the Energon universe. I'm excited about the Savage Sword of Conan from Titan, and I think you picked that up. But I think Steve might have gotten that one too, so maybe that'd be a good one to do. I do have a indie one we can do, but we talk a lot of indie comics. Who needs that? No ways. So I think that's a good place to wrap it up. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Kevin, are you telling people something at the end of episodes?
Just cool it down, Andrew.
Okay. Oh, thought we were keeping it noisy or and noise out or something like that.
We could use noise out too, I guess.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.